it's good to remember some of those incidences. And my advice to you is cherish those memories. I remember when my dad went, and he used to come out with me on the odd day when I was landscaping, and I would be laying the turf, and he would come along with a spade and do all the little fiddly bits, which I, you know, didn't want to do. I did all the heavy stuff. And I remember shortly after he passed away, I was up at Romsey, and I was laying the turf, and I came to the bit when I had to do the fiddly bits, and I just broke down, and I sort of said, "Dad, you should be here doing the fiddly bits." And, you know, I just sort of broke down. But those times are good, and they help us to mourn and help us to cherish our loved ones. Thank you, Colin. Let me read to you. I always find it difficult when coming to give a message. I always want to pick out something in the life of an individual, and I think it will become quite clear why I've gone to the passage that I've gone to. And it's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forevermore. Therefore, encourage or comfort each other with these words." I'm sure God will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. We have heard from Colin in quite some depth how Ron loved to sing, whether it was with the Cowpan Choir or the Portsmouth Chorus, or with the Gospel Malvoice Praise Gospel Choir, or with the Portsmouth Choir or the Southampton Choir. Ron loved singing and enjoyed witnessing in song for his Lord. And while he was in hospital, we spent an enjoyable and precious afternoon talking about memories we both had of the Gospel Portsmouth and Southampton choirs. My dad was one of the founder members of the Gospel Choir, and so he knew Ron very well. And so we were able to talk about festivals and various things. And during our conversation, Ron gave me his opinion on the various skills of the conductors he had sung under. We were expecting Hazel Snook to be with us today. She was the conductor of the Cowplain Choir. Fortunately, Ron didn't say anything about Hazel, so she would have been quite safe. But in particular, when we were talking, and Jane was there, and I thought, she probably don't know anything what we're talking about, but she just listened. We reminisced about singing with the Gospel Choir, particularly those times when they sung in the prisons and on the Isle of Wight. And he was recounting those occasions, and he was recounting the powerful preaching of Harry Hanks. And as he remembered, he broke down with emotion And for a few moments, he couldn't speak. He was obviously remembering something, either in the prison or through the speaking from Harry Anks. And I think both Jane and I would have loved to have known what he had been thinking about. Ron recalled the many times he had sung, I guess you would call it the national anthem of the Malvoice Praise Movement. We'll be there. Praise the Lord. We'll all be there. And thinking about today, my mind went to the verses that we have read. And they finish with that great gathering of the saints in the air and the promise that we will be with the Lord forevermore. And the passage finishes with those words that I read just now. Therefore, encourage or comfort each other with these words. And that's simply what I want to do in just these few moments. The verses that we read, they speak about reassurance for the believer. They speak about the return of Christ for the believer. And they speak of reunion of believers. Reassurance of the believer. You know, the Christians in Thessalonica believed that Christ would return any moment. But in the process of time, believers were dying and Christians were becoming concerned about their loved ones who had died. And so in this passage, Paul seeks to reassure them. He tells them not to grieve like those who have no hope. He says to them, you have a sure and certain hope. Jesus has conquered death. He's alive. He has the power over death. The believer will rise again. And surely that's a comfort to Colin and the family and to the rest of us. The sure hope that the Christian will rise again. Let me read a note to the best of my ability. It's written in the hand of Ron. I found it in his Bible. And it says this, how good is the God we adore, that God should so love the world to spare his only son Jesus and send him into this world of sin to suffer and die on the cross for disobedient and rebellious sinners like ourselves who were with no hope. But now, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have, according to Scripture, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven. And now, as a true Malvoice singer, he bursts into song. Our faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And then he writes at the bottom, O wonder of wonders, can it be all for me, all for me? We have a great hope. We have a reassurance that we're not on our own. Death is not the end. It is but the beginning. No wonder Ron loved to sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Not only do the verses talk about reassurance for the believer, they talk about the return of Christ for the believer. And this should comfort every believer. Verse 16 tells us, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. You know, at the birth of our Lord Jesus, not many were aware of what was happening. But when the Lord comes again, when he steps into the air, everybody will know. We cannot imagine what that day will be like when our Lord makes that personal appearance in the sky and our redemption becomes complete. We read these verses at the open grave earlier this morning, and I'd like to read them again. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the imperishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortality with the immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The hymn writers have tried to capture that coming event. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. And a more modern song says this: what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I shall look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. And the song that that Ron loved to sing in the choir, and I almost want to burst out in song myself: I shall know him, I shall know him, when redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. And finally, there is going to be the reunion of believers. Verse 17 says that this: after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We take great comfort in the fact that Ron and Joyce are together in paradise. They're with their Lord, whom they love. Their headstone reads, in heavenly love abiding. But there is coming a day when their perishable bodies will be changed, and there will be that great reunion in the sky with those who are still living, those who love and long for the Lord's appearing. We buried our dog on Monday. I know you saw on Sunday, didn't you? And we have precious memories of him, but we won't see him again. The death of the believer is different. And I honestly believe there is enough evidence in Scripture to say that we will recognize our family loved ones who together with us have put their faith in Jesus. We must finish with the Malvoice Choir. And I wonder whether we can all say with a certainty, we'll be there, we'll be there on the dawn of that great day when the saints gather home. We'll be there. Praise the Lord. We'll all be there. And all the people said, amen and amen. Let's turn to our order of service. Another song that became very popular through Billy Graham and George Beverly Shea, How Great Thou Art, and it's that last verse. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then shall I bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Let's stand to sing, shall we?